It is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago that we are able to have any sort of meaning to life, any hope through suffering, any blessedness amongst curse today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there is true value in our existence. Without the great proof and without the assurance of the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the Bible is merely a book of vague morality, some awful stories of betrayal, vengeance, and warring madness. But friends, we do have the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of this miraculous, true event, the entirety of the Bible is the most amazing communication from God to His well-beloved creation, you and I, in order to provide us with the knowledge of Him, the love of Him, and hope to get through the most wretched and difficult parts of life, through things that we cannot possibly understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up the glory of your holy name, the blessedness, the perfection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, we have again, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have and know the greatness of the Bible and how it reveals who we are, the good and the bad. And the reality of who we are really is twofold. We are simultaneously two things, simultaneously things that are diametrically opposed to one another. We are all at the same time blessed and cursed. We look at Scripture. We look at what the Bible has to say. We look at our two lessons that we read this morning from the Old Testament. This morning, we have two lessons. We have the from Jeremiah and we have Psalm 1 that speak of a blessed man and a cursed or ungodly man. Psalm 1, very well known, speaks of the ungodly and the blessed. Jeremiah 17 speaks, which actually reads very much like a psalm if we look at it closely, speaks of the blessed and the cursed. So I sort of ask the rhetorical question, is it possible that both the blessed one and the cursed one is the same person? Can that be any one of us? We see the cursed man, the cursed person is the one who puts his trust in mankind and created things, man-made things, puts his trust in the flesh, the opposite of one who is blessed. The blessed man is the one who puts his trust in the Lord, not man, who bears good fruit, who is careful where he goes and who he allows to be influential in his life. The illustrations that are used in Scripture are of the cursed man is the one who lives a life in a dry and wind-blown place, cold and inhospitable because the land is desolate. While the natural sort of illustration for the blessed man is that of a tree planted beside a stream, planted beside water, the roots that dig deeply down to be fully nourished. The illustrations are pretty clear to understand, I believe. Scripture knows things and how to relay things to us. And we know throughout our own personal travels and through our own personal experiences and throughout history even that civilizations, crops, life flourish when they're planted beside water. As it's been the case for the history of the world. When life is established near a source of water, it flourishes. Though it is possible to live in a place that is cold and desolate, It's very, very, very difficult, very, very, very demanding. But I do want to argue for the fact that it is entirely plausible that each one of us are both the blessed and the cursed. And that's because of the one thing that the blessed and the cursed both have in common. The blessed person, the cursed person, everyone has a heart. We all have a heart. The human heart is the center of the body, provides sustaining blood to the entirety of the body. A person cannot live without a heart. It doesn't matter if the person is blessed or ungodly. A person cannot live without a heart. Though the heart may be corrupt, the heart may be hardened. God said in our reading from Jeremiah this morning that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful, desperately sick. No one can really understand the heart. There's also a famous quote from that great reformer and theologian, John Calvin, when he says that the human heart is a veritable idol factory, making idols out of anything and everything, things that are good and things that are bad. We all have a heart, brothers and sisters. We all have that blood flowing through our veins from the heart. We are all also sinners, every one of us, a sinner. And we all need redemption from the things that harden our heart. And beyond that, we all need redemption from that which first hardened hearts, original sin. It is original sin that invaded the world through the deception of Satan onto Adam and Eve. And because of that initial disobedience, Scripture tells us that we, that all of humanity, all of humankind, are cursed. To the serpent, God said, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." To the woman, God said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband." And then to the man, God said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Friends, the curse of original sin, the curse of original sin infects every single one of us. We don't get beyond the curse of original sin. That curse continues to grow, to manifest, to infiltrate, and to harden hearts still today. Now, many of us know that we need redemption, that we need to be rescued, and many of us know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But that manifestation of original sin continues. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 7. He says, "I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil that I do not want." Paul knows, friends, very well the consequences of original sin and the hard fact that he cannot keep the law. He cannot keep the laws of God by himself in any good capacity at all. In fact, it is impossible for any of us to keep the laws of God. If Paul can't do it, none of us can. But Paul, he knows the answer. He knows the answer, and he knows that the answer is, in fact, despite himself. And I pray that I too can come to the end of myself and come to the realization of this same answer. This is what Paul says. This is still in Romans chapter 7. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knows the answer. We know the answer. It comes at the end of selfishness, at the end of pride, at the end of living for me, myself, and I. The answer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The root of sin is disobedience to God. The remedy for sin is in the resurrection of the Lord. Therefore, we can come to a Christ-centric reading of Psalm 1, which is written many, many generations before the birth of Jesus. Now, knowing that I am both cursed because of original sin and blessed because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ to forgive. We read Psalm 1, talks about the blessed man, the righteous man. Jesus Christ is the only one blessed and perfectly righteous. The ungodly person and the blessed person, all of us, we still suffer from sin and hardness of heart, and we still need redemption. Hey, Paul writes about this again, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, paraphrasing, that the law is not made for righteousness. The laws of God were not made for righteousness, but for sinners. The laws of God were made for sinners in order to expose our sins. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ suffered the consequences of our sins. The perfection of divinity and humanity that came into the world in obedience to the will of the Father to fulfill the law and the prophets, taking baptism from John in the Jordan River and submitting himself to death on the criminal's cross. So now we read Psalm 1 in the light of Jesus Christ and who he is and what it is that he accomplished for us, what we cannot accomplish for ourselves. And we know that he is the blessed person. He is the righteous one. He is perfect. His way is righteous. And he is the only one who could ever stand in judgment for you and me, for the consequences that we live into because of original sin. And we live now as sinners on earth. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we live with the knowledge and hope that was bought by his shed blood, and that we are blessed because of him, and that he takes away the pain of sin and curse. Jesus himself in the Gospel of Luke that we read this morning, he tells us, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." And here's the great hope. Here's the great hope that Jesus says in the blessedness despite curse. Jesus says, "Rejoice in that day. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets." Blessed despite curse is who we are because of the righteousness of Jesus. We who are such have great hope because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose, we now and always will live. Amen.
God is slow to anger when I go astray. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. For all of my betrayals he will not repay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Through mercy and compassion his great love is proved. He covers my transgressions like the snow. As far as east from west are all my sins removed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He saved me from the pit when I had lost all hope. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From endless springs of kindness all his blessings flow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Our days are fade like flowers and are quickly spent. And like the wind our years will come and go. Everlasting favor is his covenant. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Merciful and gracious is my God to me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I will tell his goodness through eternity. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.